Welcome to the Compliance Advisor Podcast from SurgeCompliance.com. Each week, editors Scott Peterson and Alex Howard interview leading experts on risk, governance, and compliance.
So I'm here at the RSA conference in 2009 with an executive from McAfee. If you could introduce yourself and tell me what you've seen here today.
Great. My name is George Kurtz. I'm the Senior VP and General Manager of the Risk and Compliance Business Unit. I'm also one of the authors of Hacking Exposed. And, you know, the conference has been great. We've seen a tremendous amount of activity in the security space. There's still a lot of vendors that are out there that, you know, I think consolidation is going to take place, but ultimately we'll see the next RSA conference.
And you were just telling me that you'd actually burrowed into an iPhone while you were here. Can you tell me a little bit more about that exploit?
Yeah, actually, Stuart and I gave a session, Hacking Exposed Live, which really talks about the current threats in the environment. And one of the unique things I think that we came up with was the ability to actually launch exploits from an iPhone. And the reason we did that, which may not be unique in the wild, but we feel that the mobile devices and the computing power have moved to a point where they can actually be used as an attack platform. Essentially, you're running almost a full version of OS X on your handheld phone, and we think there are a lot of exposures and potential vulnerabilities there. We wanted to educate people about it.
So securing the iPhone is now going to be important going forward. If iPhone is ready for the enterprise, as they're pitching us, it's going to be important to take care of that platform as well.
Absolutely, and that's one of the challenges that large organizations have. There's such a pull for the latest technology, whether it's new media, whether it's an iPhone, and they're being used in the organization. They're being used in a backdoor way, even if they're not sanctioned. So how do you come up with a mechanism to control that application, enforce security on it, and ultimately provide some level of data protection and security for the enterprise?
Mobile devices are going to be a vector for vulnerabilities. I mean, we know that that's going to be some place that people are going to be coming into. And there's been a lot of FUD about that, no question. I mean, mobile device security, the next venue for hacking, it seems like a story that people run in every year for a long time. But there are much more real threats, and we've heard a lot about them here at RSA. Can you talk more about the vulnerabilities and security challenges you're seeing CISOs dealing with now?
In general, the trend that we've seen is the level of sophistication has exponentially increased over, say, the last 4 years. And, as the industry has moved from it's fun to break into something and to face a website to, and when I say the industry, the bad guys, because it is an industry, they move from that to how can we make money and make lots of it. The sophistication of the attacks are off the charts. If you look at Configure as a great example and you study how well this worm was actually put together, the thought that went into it, the coding knowledge and the behind-the-scenes and in-depth understanding of the Windows kernel, it's frightening. And, it's a constant arms race between the good guys and the bad guys figuring out how to protect these, either it's a mobile, handheld, PC, anything with an IP, from these threats.
It seems like there's some discussion in the community about whether it needs to step back a little bit and assess compliance from another angle. Do you see anything coming out of the discussions here, the various panels that you've seen, or certainly what you've spoken for,
right,
where people are approaching compliance in a different way, perhaps from a risk-based approach?
Yeah, if you look at compliance, if you look at GRC in general, I think there's three key areas. And if you start from the right to the left, you start with compliance. So from a technical controls perspective, what is the security state of that system? Does it meet a minimum baseline standard? Do you have a gold image? Is general hygiene, is it configured right and kept up to date? And when you move to risk and you understand where you have gaps from a compliance perspective, you then have to make a decision on it. And I think in today's day and age, people are understanding that they can't deal with every vulnerability, every threat, every asset. They have to make a risk-based decision. So what is the most critical assets we have? What is the highest impact vulnerabilities they have? And ultimately, what is the highest threat level? Configure is a great example. I mean, you have a server service that's vulnerable on a high valued asset from a Windows server perspective that you can completely compromise. Well, that's where you want to focus your efforts. And I think people are driving towards making a decision based upon their level of compliance about risk, which then moves into a governance process. So understand your compliance framework. Understand where you have risk based upon where you're out of compliance, and then move it into a workflow around governance so a human can actually make a decision on what to do.
Compliance is almost as much about people as it is about technology. What's the strategy around managing people to achieve security in a compliance context that certainly McAfee would advise people to take?
That's a great question. And what I always like to say is you can be compliant but not secure. And a lot of people chase compliance as an end, and really it's not. It should be part of an overall security process. And the way we look at it is, what's the maturity state of the organization, right? If you just take a capabilities and maturity model, you know, level 1 through 5, where does an organization actually fit? Are they secure, maybe just the basics, antivirus and firewall? Are they compliant, or are they proactive or optimized? And if you actually take a maturity model approach, you can get to being more secure and have compliance at the same time, as opposed to just driving down a compliance angle and you leave security to chance. If you look at Heartland, some of the other very famous data security PCI breaches, they were compliant, right? But they weren't secure and they had some process breakdown.
Now, one of the stories that broke from the Journal earlier this week was about the compromisation of the Department of Defense. You know, Joint Strike Fighter, $300 billion program, data breach, terabytes of data taken out. So it seems pretty clear that cybersecurity is going to be a focus going forward for the country. What guidance do you anticipate coming down that compliance officers and security officers are going to need to be aware of to make sure they start getting out ahead of some of the standards coming down from Congress and from DOD?
Well, given the current environment, the financial environment and the political environment, I don't think anyone would dispute that we're going to see more regulation, right? Which means more compliance mandates and more headaches for a lot of the folks that have to deal with that. And I think what people have to realize is they need to get out of this, you know, audit many times, report many times, and move more to an audit once model, report many. So being able to have an effective audit program and technology that allows you to gather the information you need and be able to report on it in different ways for different regulations. And I think that's the key. What we're seeing in the field now is what I call audit fatigue. It's a new regulation comes out, and you know, another person pops in the office and says, I want to talk to you about this regulation, let's go through the audit. As opposed to, and which requires a lot of manual work, a lot of hours, a lot of wasted time, as opposed to the model of, I have the audit, I have the information, let me prepare the reports the way you need to see them to meet your regulatory requirements. And that audit fatigue is costing companies millions and millions of dollars every year.
One of the trends that we're hearing about is insider threats. That if people are concerned about their jobs or if they lost them, they're going to take the data out of the company. What are the best strategies for compliance officers, for CISOs, to protect against that insider threat? What tools do you think are most useful? And what strategies should they adopt for managing the realities of layoffs, often of people who have significant insider access, even to the monitoring controls themselves?
Well, that's an issue that we deal with all the time at McAfee. And in DLP, data loss prevention technologies, either host-based or network-based, obviously those technologies provide some level of assurance that you can understand what data is potentially leaving the environment, whether it's on an endpoint, whether it's across an email. And certainly in this environment, we see a lot of people trying to take data. We see massive spikes of data requests just before somebody is leaving the company or believes they're going to get fired, right? And we're seeing requests for DLP as companies go through these downsizing process. But what we also found is that many folks just make mistakes. I'll give you a great example. We had one organization who called us up and wanted our DLP product after a spreadsheet was sent out with a hidden column that basically had Social Security numbers in it, right? They knew the policy, they understood that you cannot send Social Security numbers out, but the technology wasn't there to actually prevent them from making the mistake. So by using a layered approach of endpoint and network DLP technology, even on the handheld, at least you provide some level of assurance that you can track this data and protect it.
Another one of the trends we can certainly see here, all you have to do is look at the sessions and the keynotes, is compliance in the cloud. What have been your takeaways from the various sessions? What's your view on whether a company can move into the cloud, to use that phrase, but essentially to outsource their storage and application hosting to a provider. Can they do that and remain compliant, and what should they be asking of these providers in order to make sure that they are protected and that their customers' data is protected?
Well, Well, it really has been a fundamental shift over the last 3 or 4 years. And it used to be, I don't want any of my sensitive data leaving my environment. I'm concerned about it. I can't have it in the cloud. It needs to remain here. And I think what this current environment, this financial downturn that we're in, has done is to force people to rethink what they're doing with their data, what they're doing with their security in an effort to reduce their cost. And they're choosing to put it into the cloud and really breaking this mold of I just can't have it leave my environment. And they realize that you can apply effective technologies. You can have SAS 70 certifications. You can have other regulatory requirements that the cloud organization has to adhere to get some level of comfort on it. So my point is, I believe the companies view the cost savings and the benefits of being in the cloud greater than the risk of having some of this information stored offsite. And they can get their head around what that risk is and get some level of comfort that the third party provides, SaaS offerings and the cloud offerings can protect that data.
Part of the issue with the compliance side of things is when it comes to e-discovery and audit trails. If you outsource your data or your hosted application or storage, whatever it happens to be, to a cloud provider, do you know where the data resides? Are there tools which are evolving in the compliance software market which are going to allow people to do that in the event someone has to be audited or if there's an e-discovery suit?
I still think some of those technologies are nascent. But if you look at some players in the log management space, right? Do they have the ability to understand who accessed what records, pull this information, string it together, provide some incident capabilities, provide the ability to have a data security warehouse where you can go back and get this information? And, there's some folks out there that are actually doing that. So I see those technologies as maturing. Right now, basically a lot of the players are taking enterprise technologies and trying to apply it to the cloud, and there's still some more work to be done there.
If you were going to step back and hold 30,000 square foot view here and say what's the biggest risk to the enterprise in 2009, what would it be?
I think the biggest risk to the enterprise in 2009 is being complacent, believing that you're compliant, and believing that you're secure. And you have to remember, in the security world, it's a little bit different. The more nothing happens, the better off we are, right? It's different than putting a CRM system in where you can demonstrate to the CFO that there's a 20% top-line increase, right? So every year the security guy walks in or gal walks in, asks for more money for a project, and the budget holder, maybe it's the CIO, says, well, why do you need more money? Nothing happened last year. And you have to be able to link nothing happened with security metrics so that you don't get complacent and you realize that you still have to drive efficiencies in your organization from a security perspective and maintain multi-levels of security, both on the endpoint and the network.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Compliance Advisor Podcast. For more information on risk, governance, and compliance, visit searchcompliance.com. If you have questions or other feedback about this episode, please let us know at editor@searchcompliance.com or comment on our blog at itknowledgeexchange.techtarget.com/IT-compliance. You can also follow us at IT Compliance on Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.